Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Is the world faring with the handling of the coronavirus, the lockdowns, the mask wearing, the police coming down on people, the protests, etc., etc.? We're going to take a look at the country or the land down under and see how Australia is coping with the coronavirus, because in a sense, Australia seems to be a laboratory for humanity itself, not on the Pfizer or vaccine level, but on the social level, on the government level of being able to force its citizens into lockdowns, using police brutality, taking away rights that people who lived in a democratic society, in a Western society, enjoyed for at least a century. Very interesting things we're going to learn. I was speaking with someone who worked for Pfizer and worked for AstraZeneca. He's an Australian man. He's explaining what's going down in the land down under. The people are very upset after being in lockdown over and over again for over, I think it's like a year and a half now. Did you know that there's something called a shadow pandemic? They're writing about it. Look it up. Shadow pandemic. It's happening in Australia where teens are taking their own lives because they can't cope with the lockdowns of being out for only 1 hour a day in some places in Australia for exercise, not socializing. People are being told not even to talk to your neighbors if you see them when you're grocery shopping, when you're allowed to go grocery shopping. And what about the camps, these quarantine facilities that they're being built, that are being built in Queensland, Australia? We're going to find out a bit about that as well. And also what the CDC in America says, because what's happening in Australia is a test case, I believe, many believe, for what will spread to the rest of the world. We'll be right back. We're going to learn more.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Australia, the Australian Blues, they are, in my opinion, from what I know and gather, that they are the laboratory of the world for government control. How long can you keep a population under lockdown? How long can you force them to wear masks? In some places, even they demand it in your own car. I've seen videos about that. What about the thing that's called now the shadow pandemic? I'm reading from the dailymail.co.uk. Warning of a shadow pandemic of youth suicide after a huge spike in teenage girls taking their own lives as helplines are flooded with calls and depression, eating disorders, and self-harm reach record levels in lockdown. We'll talk about that as well. And did you know that they are now building facilities in Australia? This is from Channel 9 News in Australia. They're writing here that the Queensland government is pushing ahead with their 1,000-bed quarantine facility without the support of the federal government. This is something that should worry us because, as you read on the American CDC, Centers for Disease Control website, they are doing something called the shielding approach, and they put it in beautiful, flowery words. We're going to shield you. We're going to protect you. They, of course, they all do this in the guise of this is, of course, for your health. But what is actually happening is that our rights are being taken away in the name of the government's trying to keep us healthy, which it's not their job, by the way. It's our own jobs. It's personal responsibility to be healthy. And they say themselves that they are going to, they are having this plan called the shielding approach. And they say its objective, I'm reading straight from their website, their objective is to protect high-risk populations from disease and death. Now, this is not even sick people. It's just high-risk people. This should scare you. They can come to any political adversary and say, we deem you a high risk, even if you're not sick. But they say you're a high risk. So we're taking you away and we're going to put you in a camp slash district. Because that's what they say. They're going to make, and they make these, you know, you can use the word concentration camps, or you can make it nice like and call it green zones. We're going to relocate people to green zones established at the household, neighborhood, camp slash sector, or community level, depending on the context and the setting. This is directly from the CDC website that I'm reading. So if this is happening and these are plans and we're already seeing that they're building facilities now in Australia, what exactly is going on in Australia? Well, I have a guest who's going to be joining me right now. His name is Martin or Marty Collins. He lives in Australia, around 100 miles north of Sydney. He worked as a drug rep for various pharmaceutical companies over the last 35 years. And two of those companies include Pfizer and AstraZeneca. He's also worked for an Australian pharmaceutical company called CSL Vaccines. He says that there's a lot more opposition to the mandatory vaccinations and lockdowns that are proposed in Australia's state and federal governments than you might think. And a lot of the YouTube and Rumble videos that you've seen of what's going on in Australia are pretty much spot on, he says. The National Truckers Union in Australia planned a strike for all of Australia and New Zealand on August 31st because the state borders are all shut and truckers have to move their cargo, their freight, their food, whatever they're carrying across these state borders, but they're under a lot of pressure to be vaccinated. And a lot of them don't want to be vaccinated. So maybe in one place you don't have to be vaccinated, but you want to drive your truck into another state because that's your job and they're demanding vaccinations. What do you do? So people are angry. Here's what Aussies are presently experiencing in the land down under. And we're going to hear from one now. So I want to welcome to the show, Marty Collins.
Hi, Tamar. Hi. Hope you can hear me okay.
I do. I hear you fine. So
all right.
Explain to us about the trucker's dilemma right now, because they're going on strike August 31st. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Australia is a little bit unusual from a point of view that up till 122 years ago, Australia was actually four separate countries. And in 1901, they decided they would federate and to form the Australian nation. But they had formed, there was, you know, four separate countries living in the same continent. And now, 120 years later, they've basically gone back in theory, I guess, to being four or five separate countries, because of this whole COVID thing, they've decided they're going to each state's going to close its borders to the other state. Now, the difficulty is, apart from the other multitude of businesses and family, et cetera, is that trucks have to deliver food, medical supplies, deliveries, all kinds of things across state borders to each state from the central places in Sydney and Melbourne. And they're demanding that the truckers get vaccinated to do that, and that they also have to log in, and they have to sign in, and they have to comply, basically. And they said, no, we don't want to. We don't like what you're doing to our children. The Minister for Education, a couple of weeks ago, went into a high school in Sydney, boys' high school, and got the whole senior class vaccinated without telling their parents. And somehow he got away with it. And that's the sort of thing that they're saying. Keep your dirty vaccines away from our kids. We're going to stop. We're going to block up all the highways and send a loud and clear message. And this is to back up some of the other protests that have been going on in Sydney and Melbourne and Brisbane that have been brutally oppressed. I never thought I'd see the like of it in my lifetime in this free country.
Can you tell us, do you know approximately how many people have been vaccinated in Australia?
Yes, they keep telling us every day. I think we have about 7 million that are vaccinated.
What percentage is that of the population?
Look, the talking heads are saying we need 70%, you know, phase C is 70% of the total population, double jab, and then phase D is 80% of the population, double jab. I'm thinking, what the hell's phase E then? So it's a lot. They have a kind of a competition on the news every morning here, you know, each state. How many jabs have they got? Double jabs, single jabs, in the last 24 hours, and look who's leading. So, essentially, probably half of the population now. The population in Australia is 25 million, so I'm going to adjust that figure. It's probably more like 12 million people that are adjusted. I'm pulling these figures out of the air, basically, and they'll change every day.
Okay, so the people are angry. How long have you been in lockdown? I mean, how many lockdowns have you had? How much in between?
Okay, each state is different. The state of Victoria has had 6 lockdowns. They've been in lockdown in the last 18 or 20 months. They've been in lockdown probably more than half of that, in almost 12 months of lockdown in state of Victoria. And that's the worst, because the premier there is, unfortunately, through a number of business deals associated with the Chinese Communist Party. My state, New South Wales, has their second lockdown. Queensland is out of lockdown, but they've had 2. Western Australia is having another lockdown, and so South Australia as well. And they won't let anybody come to their state from any other part of the country. The ridiculous thing is that the Prime Minister and the Prime Minister's second in charge, Frydenberg, who's actually Jewish, they're pleading with the states, open up your borders. You know, we're going to suffer almost a severe recession, maybe depression. The crazy thing is that people may be allowed to travel overseas before they can travel interstate.
I'm just wondering how businesses can survive after being under lockdown after lockdown. I mean, you said in 20 months they've been 12 months under lockdown, right?
They're not surviving. They're not surviving. Small businesses are falling by the wall, left, right, and center. And small businesses is largely, you know, like the second backbone of this country. It's a damnable shame to see this sort of this thing that's happening. Every small business, from a hairdresser to a distributorship or someone who just builds houses or makes produces software or something, they all can't work necessarily, you know, under lockdown. People have to be put off. there's people, and you know, it has a terrible effect on the mental health too.
Okay, well, you know what? We'll go into that in the next segment because we have to go to a break. But I want to ask you about how the Australian people are taking this. Are they protesting? Because I understand that you can't even talk about going into the streets or having a citizen's protest in a democracy. They've already arrested, I understand, a pregnant woman from her home because she was posting about a possible protest. We'll be right back, everybody. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Steve Miller.
And I'm Matt Zucker.
Join us for Lighten Up, where we take a look at the week's current events in Israel and from around the Jewish world through a humorous lens.
If you've been paying attention during these crazy times, you know that it's a challenge to parody life anymore. But join Steve and I as we give it the old college try. Not only is being happy an obligation, but life is just too short to take it all so seriously.
So join me, Steve Miller.
And me, Matt Zucker.
For Lighten Up every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Israel, only on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and we're talking about Australia. They seem to be the test lab for the world to see how populations will cope and comply under lockdown after lockdown after lockdown. The country is just a democratic country. A democratic country which always cherishes the rights of individuals, citizens, to protest peacefully. They're not even allowed to do that. We have our guest joining us, Martin Collins. By the way, I believe he's under lockdown himself right now as he's talking with me. And he's going to be telling us about the state of Victoria in Australia, that out of the last 20 months, 11 of them have been under lockdown. So where would you like to start, Martin?
Yes, so there was some sizable protests that have been going on, particularly in the last couple of months. And they're protesting essentially the idea of lockdown and losing businesses, losing money. And the other part of the protest is the concept of mandatory vaccinations. And I think the other part of the protest is to do with further lockdowns and the harshness. And they like to fine people too. They like to fine them with a $5,000 fine per person.
For what? For doing what?
Well, for example, in Melbourne, it's a cafe culture. There was a group of people who went down to the local cafe, and as soon as they pulled their mask down to drink their coffee, the police were waiting, and they pounced on three or four of them and fined them all $5,000 each for taking their mask off.
Well, then how can they let restaurants open if they don't let people have a cup of coffee?
Exactly right. And the premier makes no excuses for it. He just says, okay, if you go to a pub, as soon as you pull your mask down to have a drink of your beer, are we going to fine you? And this is why people are protesting. And the media here is so left-wing. It was just it's abominable the way they're as bad as America, left-wing America, that is. They just make the protesters out to be totally radical. And people, you know, they seem to have learnt from all the other despotic countries in the world, you know. Keep us safe, they say. We'll do anything. We'll give away our rights, you know. We'll even try out this experimental stuff and sign away, there's a bad reaction. We'll sign our lives away. So people are protesting, and they're being set upon and being fined viciously. And millions of dollars in fines have been handed out because there's hundreds of people at these protests.
Hundreds or thousands?
Well, there's hundreds in some places, but there's thousands in there has been a couple of protesters, of thousands in Sydney and in Melbourne in the last couple of months. So now, tomorrow, the truckers are going to get involved, and that should be quite a big scene, because without trucks, Australia stops.
And, right. I mean, food, there won't be food deliveries. I imagine people are stocking up, right? Because there won't be food deliveries to supermarkets if the truckers go on strike, et cetera.
Yes, that's right. And the other thing is, too, that there is mental health problems with children not being able to go to school. It creates an unnatural setting in the home, believe it or not. And also, if there's any hint of domestic violence, I think last year when they were having lockdowns, there was like one woman every week was being murdered by their husband out of domestic violence across the nation somewhere. It was an absolute travesty. People losing their jobs with no money. It's unbelievable to see what's happened to this country that my father fought for in the Second World War. I just can't believe it.
Now, I saw a video of a blonde-haired woman who was arrested in her own home. She was pregnant. The police came in and they arrested her because she was online talking about having a possible protest. You're not allowed to do that?
If they can tap into what you're doing, and usually it's because somebody, one of the neighbours, has you know, the term they use in Australia is dob you in. In other words, you know, telltale on you. Report to the police, oh, I saw someone do this, or I saw someone do that, or I hear there's a party. You know, people are so ready to call the police and report you. Hmm. Now, where have I heard that before?
Right.
You know?
The Soviet Union.
You know,
right.
I had a very unusual experience many years ago when I was living as a single fellow. I live out the back with a fellow from Latvia, and his father, I had to share a apartment out the backyard with his father. His father was a nasty, grizzled old man, and he had been in the German army, and he was actually an SS officer. And could you believe it? Here I was, a Jewish boy sharing a apartment with an ex-SS officer. He never told him, of course, because he was too nasty. But he used to talk about what went on. And I said, oh, that'll never happen in this country. You know, reporting, and then there's the tapping and the secret stuff. This is unbelievable because it's happening right now.
So if you had to divide the population up into percentages, how many would you say are totally convinced that the government has their best interests at heart, that you should comply, that you should report on your neighbors if you see someone without a mask or having people in their home or whatever it is, as opposed to people who are fed up, who are saying we want our freedoms back and, you know, are against this?
I would say probably in the end, in the final wash up, you're looking at about 60% of the total population that will succumb to the massive advertising blitz and the glitzy way that they produce this. Probably 30 to 35%, or probably 30% will be like me to say no, never. And there'll be a small, say, 10% of people. 10 to 5% of people who would be undecided or you know, not cognizant of what's going on, and if they're in nursing homes or hospitals or something, or an essential service, they will be made to have a vaccine.
Now, do Aussies have what's called like the green pass, a green passport showing that they're vaccinated?
No.
And they're allowed to enter places?
No, they don't. But the beginnings of it is happening. As soon as I saw that happen in Eretz Israel, I thought, well, this is going to happen over here. This is going to happen in other countries. Some will say, that's a good idea. And what they're already saying, I just saw it on news this morning, they said that now for those who are double jabbed, you will be able to have extra things you'll be allowed to do. You'll be able to travel. You'll be allowed to go into all the stores, all the restaurants. And I thought, hang on, just a year ago, certainly 2 years ago, they weren't extra things. They were things that were your privilege. And now they're trying to cause some kind of racism, as it were, by saying, you know, no longer do we say black, white, brown, Asian or whatever, or any other division. They say now vaccinated or unvaccinated.
Is there a state in Australia that it's better to be in that state because they're a lot looser and freer than other states?
I think so. I'd like to say Queensland, but the Premier of Queensland, whose father was a Polish refugee, and he has some very, very left-wing views, and she follows. They're the ones that are building that huge 1,000-bed facility. They're pretty free and easy, but I don't trust what they want to do next. Probably the state called the Northern Territory, you know, the Crocodile Dundee country, that's sparsely, that would probably be the sort of free and easy. You know, that some of the places, they don't have speed limits on the roads and it's open desert or jungle. That would probably be the most free and easy state, I'd say, to guess.
So very interesting what you're saying, that that Australia is made up of different states that used to be their own countries, and then only like about 100 years ago or so did they unite in a federation to make the whole entire continent.
Yes.
Australia. Very
yes,
interesting. So they have different personalities, just like they do in any place in the United States of America. You've got the South, you've got the North, the West, very
yeah.
different accents, different personalities, etc.
Yes, they have different accents.
Yeah. Which would you say has the worst amount of cases of COVID?
Well, it used to be Victoria last year, but they've had they're starting to have the worst amount of cases here in New South Wales now, probably because we have we got 8 million people in New South Wales. It's the most populated state, and also there's lots of different racial groups too, African racial groups, Asian racial groups, Middle Eastern racial groups. And they tend to congregate, and they celebrate, you know, family and weddings and that kind of stuff. And if somebody has the virus, it spreads very quickly. So that's been the kind of downfall. But there's also lots of people among those groups who won't accept the idea of lockdowns either, and don't want to comply. So.
All right. We have to go to a break in a second. Very quickly, in one sentence, are people talking about treatments, about ivermectin, about hydroxychloroquine and zinc together, etc.?
Not openly, no. No. Some people are certainly asking and searching. But generally speaking, they've managed to sell the idea of those crazy treatments is something that Trump does.
Okay, hang on one second. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of political correctness and the fear that you might offend someone?
I'm not afraid to offend you.
Wow, look who's talking tough.
One has to be tough to keep sane today.
Hi, I'm Alan Skorsky.
And I'm Bayla Seabrow.
And join us every Wednesday for The Definitive Wrap as we interview the most sought-after guests and expose progressive trends that masquerade as enlightenment but actually destroy our freedoms.
We are the No Woke Zone, so buckle up to this exciting show.
Buckling up, but I'm driving.
Sure, you can drive, but I'm the navigator.
Tune in for the no-nonsense, The Definitive Wrap Show, every Wednesday on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yunus Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and we're talking about Australia as a possible laboratory for humanity when it comes to democracy and taking away rights, being under constant lockdowns, etc. I know that Canada is very heavy in that as well. Israel has done the lockdowns as well, and other countries as well. It's all over the world, but more in other places. And in Australia, we're really getting now videos of the terrible police brutality. I've saw one person that the police just hit them. I guess he was a protester. He was in the street. They just hit him with the car just to hit him. You see them stopping people because they're not wearing a mask inside their own cars. So they were pulled over. I mean, this has gone berserk. This has gone over the top. So our guest is Martin Collins. He's a resident, or he's an Australian citizen, I should say. Right now, he is under lockdown himself. What can you tell us about the police brutality and what Australian people are experiencing?
Yes, I was amazed. We probably haven't seen a lot of police brutality in, I'll start with the states, Queensland and the North, as much. They've been fining people, and people from New South Wales want to rush at the border up at the Gold Coast, they call it, the place, and try and make a point. And the police have arrested them and fined them. Somebody charged them with on a horse, would you believe? But the thing is that they that the media is right behind the police, and they're building it up. The police in New South Wales have gone about parks and things, and they see someone who they've sprayed, you know, with a colour in the protest. Now all jump him, not just one or two, but six or seven of them all jump him, and they don't care. They slam him against poles and cars and things. Doesn't matter if they're old or they're
the pavement as well. I understand they've slammed their heads
into
cement.
One of them had a guide dog, and they shot the guide dog. Would you believe it's unbelievable.
Huh.
And in Victoria, it's even worse. They have dressed the police in Victoria, these riot police, in military garb. And it follows what they're doing in other countries around the world. Military garb with rubber bullets. People getting shot at with rubber bullets in Victoria. And these cocky young officers love doing it. You've empowered them, and it's going to their heads. You know, you can understand how they how all this happened in another continent 80 years ago. So, yeah, the police brutality is, for such a stupid little thing, is unconscionable. I just can't believe it's happening in this country.
So you said, go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry, I'm just talking about the
brutality. Well, you said in the last segment that you would suppose, if you had to guess, around 60% of the country are pretty much under the impression that the government is working for them, they're protecting them, and they're for the vaccines, and they're for the lockdowns, and they want to cooperate.
I'd say a pretty hard 50%, and then 10% more will join them.
Okay, and then another 30%, you're saying there are people who are woke in the good way. that, you know, they have no rights to take away our rights. I've heard some people say, and it makes sense, that if you're afraid of getting the coronavirus, then you stay home. But let everybody else go out and live their lives and run their businesses. And if you're so afraid, then you stay home. But that doesn't seem to make sense to the governments. You were going to tell us also about the vaccination campaign with the children. Yes. What can you tell us about that?
Okay, so just yesterday in New South Wales, they advertised saying, bring all the children in their sports uniforms and their sports groups, because they play a lot of sport in this country, dress them all up in their uniform and down as teams to these centres, and we'll vaccinate all of them. And it doesn't matter if they're 12 years old or if they're 16 or if they're 20-something.
So from 12 years old and up.
Yes, 12 years old and up. And they even are seeking approval to vaccinate younger than 12 as well. It's the damnedest shame I've ever seen. But that's one thing. And then you have every celebrity and every talk show host constantly on the TV saying, get the jab, get the jab. it's amazing the massive amount of advertising that's going in behind this. Governments don't like to spend money, but they're spending squillions of money on this. So something's wrong somewhere.
You worked for Pfizer, you worked for AstraZeneca, and you know a little bit about the vaccines. You worked for the Australian, what was it, the CLC, you said?
CSL.
Okay, so what can you tell us about that?
Okay, I lasted at Pfizer for a week because I disagreed with the management's style of marketing, and so they marched me out quick smart.
Give us a quick example, one sentence.
I think we're putting together a Viagra launch, and we wanted to put people on, all these doctors and their wives, onto these big boats up the river, dancing girls, lots of booze, etc. And I said, no, that's a terrible idea. And they just said, if you think it's a terrible idea, you're out of here. Their marketing and their treatment of third world people is abominable. AstraZeneca, also very harsh. If you disagree with them in any way, I just couldn't, in all consciousness, stay there.
So those were your experiences.
Just say quickly here that if you are pressured and have to get a vaccine, don't get an mRNA. Just like Dr. Zelenko said, it is poison. The time bomb's going off inside you. There is one called the Novavax. It is a traditional vaccine. It is not an mRNA. If you absolutely have to, if there's no way else out of it, you can put them off by saying, oh, look, my doctor's told me I can get a Novavax vaccine. It is made the traditional way, and where they used partially killed biological materials so that your the B and T cells can build up a quick antigen to it. And it is as safe as you know, getting the flu vax, I guess. For me, I wouldn't get either. But if you absolutely have to, that is a viable alternative to get you out of the jam.
That's if they allow that. Sometimes, like the government, like in Israel, they want you to get Pfizer.
The Pfizer and the AstraZeneca marketing machine are so slick that they have elbowed this Novavax off to the side. And this one other thing too, the FDA have served Pfizer with, please answer all these questions now. On the last week, on the 23rd of August, they've given 14 days to explain what's in the vaccine. What the results of their studies? How can they justify giving it to children and younger than 12? What evidence has there that of it working? And you know, anyone died of it? They have to supply that within 14 days, or the FDA could withdraw their approval. But the thing is, they haven't really got approval anyway. You have to sign a waiver that says this is experimental, and because it's experimental, if you end up in hospital, you're a lot of your health insurance won't cover it.
Amazing.
And it's experimental. You can't. You've got no comeback.
We only have another 2 minutes left. I want to ask you. So, as we understand it, where is it in Australia that they're only giving people 1 hour a day to go out, and support? You know, under the pretense of you're going to exercise. Where is that happening?
Oh, that's here in New South Wales, as far as I know. I don't think in Melbourne they're even giving you an hour. It might be. They'd be lucky to get an hour out of Victoria, that's for sure. But yeah, it's exactly that.
I understand that people in prison get 4 hours of outside time, whereas the good citizen who hasn't been convicted of anything is only getting 1 hour a day.
We've been bludgeoned into silence by the majority.
Do you see any light at the end of the tunnel? Do you think that the truckers' protest is going to do anything? Do you think that people, the protests that they've been having, as small as they are or as large as they are, is going to turn anything around?
Yeah, I think that once August and maybe September have passed, probably, I'm crossing fingers here, maybe by November we'll get a better semblance of normality, even December. However, I believe it will all happen again next year when they talk about boosters.
Let me ask you this. Are Australian people getting stimulus checks from their government since they can't work most of the time?
Yes. Yes, they have to apply for it. They got a good support, a reasonably good support last year. This year, you can get $200 a week. sent to your account if you apply online.
But that's not enough to feed your family, pay your rent, pay your expenses, pay gas, electricity.
Oh, no. No, it isn't.
So how are people surviving? We have about 30 seconds.
Well, the criminal element is always surviving. There's a lot of those of Middle Eastern appearance, if you know what I mean, in Sydney. But other people, normal schmo in the down the street, they try and band together. They try and help, you know, get help from family or pick up a bit of loose work here and there. I'm picking up some loose work
from within your four walls. You're talking about, because you can't go out.
Well, not here. While I'm here, unfortunately, the New South Wales government's paying for me to be here and everything, and I'm here for another 3 or 4 days, thank goodness. But I was working at Costco. They found
that you're an essential worker.
Yeah, but, through no fault of my own, I ended up here. And I think they're going to mandate that everyone be vaccinated in that place. So that's only my opinion.
And are you going to do it or not?
Absolutely not. Definitely not. I've got lots of other places I can do, other things I can manage.
We're gonna
never get that vaccine.
We're going to have you back on again, Martin. Thank you so much for coming on the Tamar on the show and letting us know what's going on in Australia.
Thank you, Tamar, for all you do. All right. Thank you.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling for the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.